Hi, welcome to Hometown to Hollywood. Thanks for joining us today. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide, and today my guest on this podcast is Sarah Jeffrey. Sarah is an actress best known for her work on Shades of Blue, Wayward Pines, Rogue, and Disney Descendants. Sarah, welcome to the podcast.
So I was just on your IMDb, and it's like you're very young, but you've amassed a lot of stuff so far. We're looking at Wayward Pines, yes. Shades of Blue, Rogue, Disney Descendants, Wicked World animated shorts, Across the Line, and now you've got another film coming out, Be Somebody. It's in post right now.
Yes.
That's insane.
I know. It's like I haven't even been at this for too long. It's been maybe 4 years, but I've been so lucky to be consistently working and on projects that I'm passionate about. So, yeah, it's very cool to see your work sort of coming out back to back. It's very exciting.
So when did you know you wanted to be an actor? When did you suddenly see that that was something you really wanted?
Well, I did my first project when I was about 14.
Yeah.
And it was just a little pilot presentation for Cartoon Network. And I had 2 days on it. And I sort of, I got the acting bug for sure. And I wanted to keep doing it. And there was sort of a lull. I was auditioning and nothing was really sticking. And I got a little bit discouraged, but I thought, I'm going to stick with this, see what comes out of it. And I auditioned for Rogue. And I didn't really think anything of it. I hadn't heard for a while, but I was very passionate about the project because the lead actor is one of my favorite actresses. And we got a call when I was out in Las Vegas for dance competition. They were like, can you please come back and read again? And it had been like months. And I was like, I'm sorry. I'm like just about to go on stage. I can't. And so we were like, dang, I guess that's not going to work out. And on the drive home, they called and they were like, well, you got the part. So, yeah, it was crazy. I auditioned once, and then months later, it turned out to be my part, which was amazing. And that's definitely when I knew I wanted to. This was what I wanted to do. It was a very emotional show, a lot of hard work, but so rewarding and very eye opening. And I had some great mentors on the show.
I love that. I love that. It's so classic where you do something and it's like, you know, one of the many, many auditions you do.
Right.
Months go by. You don't hear anything. You're like, okay, well, whatever.
Well, you know, it leaves your mind.
Yeah. You forget about it literally. Yeah. And then that call comes.
It was crazy.
So you're 14 when this happens?
Yes. I think I turned 15 when Rogue happened, but, I had done that little project, when I was probably 14. So I felt like a year had passed and nothing had stuck. And I was like, well, we'll stick with it. And my dad is an actor. So he was like, I think you've got a lot of potential. So I think you should stick with it. And I did. And lo and behold, the project that kind of like changed it all for me.
So you have a big dance background.
Yes. Yes.
Is that kind of how you started performing in general? Or?
Yeah, definitely. I started dancing when I was 3. And that sort of led to musical theater as well, which is a combination of it, and performing on stage. And my family is so artistic in that we're either like dancers, musicians, actors, painters, something. So I was kind of, me and my sisters were kind of bound to have that in our systems.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
So did you have somebody who inspired you to want to be an actor, or how did that? Sometimes that's true. Someone's like, oh yes, it was this person. But sometimes it's not. It's like, no, it's just like, it just called to me.
Right. I guess it was somewhere in between. I had my dad and my sister. My dad's been an actor for ages. He did a lot of voice acting, which I always thought was super cool. And my sister Hannah, who's a year and 9 days older than me, she started acting before me, actually. She just had a huge passion for musical theater and thought, where else could I take this? And it took her to sort of film and television. And she got these parts here and there. And I, of course, wanted to do what my older sister did. And we were so close that I was like, well, if she's doing it, I want to do it.
Of course.
That was where my initial inspiration was from. My family, pretty much, which, yeah, I always stick to that story. They were the two who inspired me initially, and they still do.
That is so cool. So for a lot of kids, like, the question that so many young kids right. have is like, how did you get started though? It's like, well, in your right. case, you've got a family that you were sort of just swimming in that water.
Yes.
But at some point you had to like get headshots and a resume yeah. and start auditioning. Did your mom just help you put that all together or how yes. How'd that go?
So it was definitely helpful to have my dad who already had a history in it and sort of knew, where to go for it and where not to go. But my mom was also extremely helpful. Stay-at-home mom, so she had lots of time to help. Even though that said, it's not easy work.
No, it's a lot of crazy driving to auditions oh. all over town and sitting around forever.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's not easy. No. But so I'm extremely grateful that my mom helped me with that. It's headshots. It can be classes. It's auditions at like in the morning, at nighttime, sometimes two a day, sometimes none for weeks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's getting started can sort of be a little scary because you might not be entirely sure. But in my case, I found my agent quite young, and she's been with me pretty much from the start, and she's a perfect fit.
Oh, that's huge. That's
yes.
so huge. Because it's like any other incredibly important relationship.
Oh, I know.
Your odds of finding the right, like, connection with an agent the first time out, not super high.
Not super high. I know. I mean, I'm so lucky that my first... I have two managers now. One here in LA, one back home.
Sure.
But my one back home in Vancouver has been with me pretty much from the start, and she's been amazing.
That's so huge.
Yes.
That's as important as good parents almost. Sometimes.
Exactly.
It's like they represent you in the world.
Yeah. It's like you're putting your career into their hands to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a collaboration for sure.
It is a collaboration. I like the way you frame that.
Yeah.
Well, so you start to actually get some real traction by the time you're 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
But you are maybe in school a lot of the
yes.
time that, you know, that kids ask me questions. They're like, you know, but how do you know, the school thing,
school.
Like school is hard
school
for
is
a lot of kids.
Really?
Right.
Is.
And my experience is that a lot of the kids who are performers are maybe extra sensitive, you know,
yes.
a little bit different frequently
Definitely.
And often have their own issues like with school in general.
Oh.
And then trying to balance that with having a career. How did that all go
totally.
For you?
Well, for me, initially, I did commercials before when I was younger, so that was manageable. And then as time went on and I got Rogue, I realized how much work would be, and how hard it would be to juggle school and work and then dance as well for me. Like, often kids have extracurriculars that they don't want to let go of. I was lucky enough to go to an art school where, most teachers were quite understanding about maybe getting the homework ahead of time and doing it, at my own pace.
That's huge.
It was huge. And so I somehow managed to maintain, good grades, but it got to a point in grade 11 was my last year in actual school where I was like, this is just getting a little bit too hard for me to be like in 500 places at once.
There's like this time space thing.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know if people realize like how much it can be for even for kids.
Yeah.
It's like it's so much. And so we decided, me and my mom and my dad decided online school would be
mm-hmm.
the best option mm-hmm. for me. And I mean, I was doing it independently without a tutor, so it does take a lot of work ethic.
Yeah.
It does take a lot of, like, concentration. I won't sit here and say it's easy,
We didn't do great with it, just for the record.
Yeah,
no, it's not easy.
Really, it's really difficult. I mean, I like school, but school has always been a struggle for me. But, yeah, it felt like it was just the best option for me at that point in my life.
So you wrapped it up using online?
Yes, I did.
Online is a great option for a lot of kids.
It is.
And in some cases, even if you're not trying to, you know, juggle a professional career while you're still
oh,
a
yeah.
kid, and that's a challenge for school, sometimes the social thing is like enough of
oh,
a challenge that
huge.
You just want to step away from that.
Huge.
And online makes that a lot simpler.
It really does.
You know?
I know that, I mean, in my experience, personally, myself, Artistic people can struggle with anxiety, and that's not something I'm afraid to talk about. I think that's a huge thing.
It's very common.
It's very common. I see that more and more as I get older and sort of dive into this industry deeper. It's a huge thing. So having all of that on your plate, on top of like anxiety that already existed, it was sort of nice for me to just do the online thing, even though it took, I will not lie about that. It took a lot of work, a lot of dedication, but ended up being worth it for me. So that might be a good fit for some people.
That's wonderful. That's great advice. So, how important has training been for you in your career?
I think it differs from person to person. Training can be super important, or it can be not as important for some people, but I definitely recommend at least giving it a go and seeing where it gets you. I started training, a little bit when I was younger with the dancing. Mm-hmm. It was less serious, but, it was some good background training, and sort of getting like over the nerves almost, because that can be a part of it for some people.
That's huge. I think you're right. I mean, even if we're not talking technique here,
yes,
just getting like comfortable.
Totally.
Right?
Comfortable.
Being in front of a camera, being on stage.
Getting comfortable using your voice in front of people. And being in front of the camera, that was a big part of training for me. I've done a few intensives here and there, and I think it's very useful to sort of pick what works for you and what doesn't. Try people's techniques. Mm-hmm. It definitely by no means means that it's going to work for you 100%.
Yeah.
But for me, it's important to at least give it a go.
Well, and I think, again, if you find the right teacher or the right school that really resonates with the way you operate, like that can be really wonderful. And you are probably not going to find that on the first go. So, maybe you try an acting class and you just think, I'm not getting anything out of this. That doesn't mean we'll never try another acting class again.
Exactly. Exactly.
Try a different teacher. Try a different school.
You definitely, the odds that you will find that perfect fit are very low that you'll find that the first time. But additionally for me, my dad has been a huge part of sort of training and getting comfortable. Mm. I feel so, that's one of the biggest things I'm grateful for in terms of my career, is having my dad to sort of guide me, and help me and be honest with me, because that's a huge thing when I'm a little torn if my performance is, or if I'm giving the right delivery, or, something doesn't feel right. He will always be honest with me.
That's so beautiful. That's so huge. I mean, I think in general in life, whether we're talking about, actors or whatever, the parents really do their kids a disservice by saying that every single thing that they do is wonderful all the time. It's like, it isn't.
No, it's not. Yeah, it is a disservice.
How can you do better and improve and become really who you might become, in the world, if you don't get some honest feedback? So what
exactly
a gift that is.
Such a gift. And I mean, sometimes we get frustrated with one another, but it has been... it's been a huge source of help for me through all of this, and to also already have like a great relationship with my dad and be comfortable with him. Mm-hmm. It's just been a blessing.
Yeah, that's just beautiful. So, do you have any auditioning advice for young actors out there, or any actors out there? Because now we're getting a broader audience,
right?
Auditioning is its own skill set, you might be a great actor, but if you don't know how to audition, powerfully,
totally.
Yeah.
Auditioning can be, nerve wracking. I won't lie. It can be overwhelming. Sometimes when you get into the thick of it, you have multiple auditions a day.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Which is weird, right? Because
like
you're running across town doing this character and this background for a serious film, and then you're running across town doing like some crazy comedic thing.
Right. You really have to like jump from character to character and sort of like be able to switch your gears.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's important to sort of find, aside from what other people tell you, it's important to find your own process,
mm-hmm.
and sort of what works for you, whether that's prepping tons before, whether that's not prepping, over prepping. For me, over prepping is something that I try to avoid.
Yeah, that's a danger, actually. You can get so in the groove of doing something that you can't veer out of that groove when you're given direction in the audition. Totally. And then, you know, you're in trouble.
Exactly. And you don't want it to become stagnant. So there's like a fine balance with auditioning between like knowing your lines and being comfortable with the character and overdoing it to the point where you can't break from your habits.
Yeah, there's a sweet spot.
Yeah, definitely. So that can be tricky to find, but as long as you're persistent and you keep trying that with each audition, then I think you're going to be good.
Yay.
Yeah.
So what has surprised you about being in this business? At this point, you know, you have enough experience under your belt that you've, you know, had a lot of different things happen that you thought, oh yeah, this is going to happen. Wait, what's this? You know, or, you
totally.
Know, what have been some surprises along the way?
I guess being young, not too young, but relatively young, in my early teens. It's not really all roses. Like it's not easy.
It's not all red carpets?
No, it's not all glam and glitz. And it's not like all, exactly, like you said, it's not all red carpets and it's not a cakewalk.
No.
You really have to put your work into it, which, I mean, you have to put your work into anything you do. But that's just something I've realized with time. And a surprise for me being young was you might meet people along the way who you don't jive with. There are a lot of bright personalities in this industry. And you just kind of have to focus on your own work and who and what work for you. It's definitely easy to get bothered by other people.
Mm-hmm.
But just being in tune with your own morals and your own ethics. And sometimes you might see things that you don't find, are very uncomfortable to you.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some experiences on set with my early work where as a young individual, I was like, what? This isn't supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But it can happen as long as you sort of stick to what you know and don't get sidetracked, you'll be okay. And having a support system is also a part of that.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. I mean, in life, again, in general, but especially in this industry, which can be so challenging and have some real curveballs in it, a support system makes all the difference in the world.
Absolutely.
What has turned out so far in your life to be important and not important for success? Like, you know, like you go into this going, you know, I think this is going to be really important and you don't even think about other things. And then sometimes you can be really surprised by what's really true.
I think for me, a large part of it has been finding myself as an actor and not striving to be someone else.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, that said, I think it's also important to learn from other people, and continue to find inspiration from your fellow actors and just from any art or whatever it may be. But sort of staying true to yourself and finding what makes you unique, that's important for me.
That's huge.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people go in basically trying to do what they think is expected of them, like fit in that shape that is offered to them or that they think is what's out there that they're supposed to fit into, and they kind of bend themselves into a pretzel that's really unnatural.
Totally.
You can't succeed if you do that
because
you can't sustain it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like trying to cultivate your own image is important. Mm-hmm. And I think with social media nowadays, social media is incredible for some things, but it's also easy to look at other young actors or whoever and think, well, they're successful, that means I have to be exactly what they are,
right? And emulate them in all the wrong ways.
exactly. That's just a big thing for me, is sort of recognizing where it's good to draw inspiration and where you need to sort of stay true to yourself. That's been something
That's huge. That's beautiful. So what are your personal methods of staying positive and focused on your dream when there are those days or those times when the mountains just seem really, really big.
Right.
How do you manage to stay focused and positive?
Well, for me, a huge part of it is, first of all, I'm very thankful to have a great support system. My friends and family, close friends, I've found that being in this industry, it's important to keep your close friends, like, realize who your friends are.
Yeah.
And of course, my parents have been incredible. Another part of staying positive for me actually has been finding other things that make me happy in my downtime.
That have nothing to do with
that
the industry.
That have nothing to do with it. It's important to, like, well, it's important to work hard and strive to be successful. It's also important to sort of, like, accept your downtime and really breathe. And for me, that's dance. Mm. I have a recent passion for yoga. Yeah, which is so amazing. If you haven't tried it, I would definitely give it a go. baking is a huge thing for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever sort of relaxes you and makes you feel grounded and centered outside of the industry.
I think that's really important because it's easy to sort of fall down that rabbit hole and have every single thing in your life be about the industry in some way or another. But if you're going to be like a really grounded, well-rounded person, there must be other things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's not, obviously it won't be easy to be 100% okay after you get rejected or you really wanted that project and you didn't get it, obviously, and no one's asking you to be like chipper right away.
No.
Because it is difficult, but stick through it and rely on the people around you and the other things you love. And that's a huge thing.
So you're Canadian.
Yes.
And I remember being on set while you guys were all filming Descendants and sitting with your mom kind of wringing her hands going, man, we're just like, how are we going to get this girl a visa so she can work in the U.S.?
Oh, I know.
It was like this wall that you guys had to find a way over or around. And I talked to a lot of actors who are not American actors. They're from other countries. And it's like this hurdle.
It is.
So how did you guys jump that hurdle? How did you find your way through that whole visa tangle so you could work in this country?
Right. Well, my dad's actually American.
Ah.
So at first we thought, oh, perfect. We will get my dual citizenship. It'll be great. I can work in the States. Well, getting your dual citizenship actually isn't that easy.
Oh, rats.
And yeah, rats is right. So we were like, no, we've exhausted that option. And so we thought, okay, we're really going to have to do this. Like, how do we do this? And what it looked like was I had built my work in Vancouver and I had felt comfortable with my set of skills. And I thought, okay, this could be the year to go down to the States and try pilot season.
Mm.
And pilot season is, I'm sure, obviously, you know, it's that time of year where all the new projects come out. And there's lots, actually, that's not true. Sometimes there's lighter years and sometimes there's heavier years.
That's true. It's really inconsistent, especially
it is.
Now.
Yes. So there are audition opportunities. And I talked to my U.S. manager about it and he said, I think it'll be a good opportunity for you. But I mean, be forewarned, it's not a cakewalk.
Yeah.
There's so many, everyone flocks to the U.S.
Yeah. It's like there's a bump in the population of Hollywood for those 3 or 4 months when everybody flies in.
Yes.
And so the competition's even fiercer. It's kind of like a feeding frenzy.
Exactly.
For auditions.
It's crazy. but he sort of gave me some great advice, and that was sort of finding what makes me unique. And he was like, you're going to see names on the sign-in sheet that sort of like give you some butterflies in your stomach, names you recognize, names you've seen. And he's like, don't let that throw you.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
Cause that happened to us too. I remember vividly
going
into some audition with Dove at one point and Elle Fanning had been in just before us. And we're like, oh my God.
Exactly. You're like, no,
forget it. Why am I here?
Yeah.
You know?
But I always remind myself, not everyone's going to get the part.
Yeah.
There might be 5 names you recognize and maybe none of them will get the part.
Yeah.
So you just have to go in and do your thing and have your own sort of personal flair. And so it's a lot of work, going in as a Canadian or like a foreigner, wherever you may be from, you don't have the upper hand. Mm-hmm. It's harder work. You have to prove yourself even more so that they want you. They want to pay for your visa. They want to give you that part. And so it's like, it's extensive. The first pilot season I had here, I was like, by the end of it, I was like exhausted.
Mm.
But I did end up booking Shades of Blue.
Which is pretty amazing.
Thank you. Yes. I was like, it had been 2 months, nothing had stuck. And I was like, well, okay, there's next year. And then Shades of Blue just came like right at the end.
Oh.
And it stuck. And I don't think I have ever worked as hard as I did for Shades of Blue to get that job. I knew I had a lot at stake, and I knew this was the role that was going to give me that visa.
Mm-hmm.
It was insane the amount of work I put into it. I mean, I do with everything, but I knew at this point, I was like, oh, this is do or die.
But once you've got the work visa, then you've got it. So, yes. So how that works from a mechanic standpoint,
yes.
Because this is something I'm not super familiar with, and I know that we want to try and, you know, share this information with
right.
people. And also, you're not a lawyer and you're not an expert, but this is how it worked for you.
Right.
Right. So you get cast in a big project,
yes.
and then the people who cast you understand that they're going to have to help you get the visa
yes.
so that you can legally work in the States.
Yes.
So they know that they're signing on for that.
They do.
Yes. So
they
that
do.
Means they really have to want you.
They really have to want you. That's like additional money out of their pocket
mm-hmm.
To have you as part of their cast. And for me, Shades of Blue is an NBC show. And so I had an O-1 visa specific to NBC.
So an O-1 visa is what artists from other countries
yes.
probably get, right?
Yes.
Special people. And I think the idea is like, you are the perfect one for the part. No one else can have the part. That's why
you
can justify
yes,
getting that
exactly.
visa.
Exactly.
Specific to NBC though.
Specific to NBC, which means that, that only works for NBC shows.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yes.
So NBC pays for it.
NBC pays for it.
But
that means that it's specific to NBC. That said, once you get that visa, it's easier to piggyback it to get a blanket visa.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yes.
So what's a blanket visa look like?
That's just like an O-1 that works for wherever in the States.
Anyone you're working,
anyone.
Any projects at all.
Yeah. So
oh.
I have that. That means I could go be a barista at Starbucks if I wanted.
If you wanted.
If I wanted.
That's
yes.
exciting.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So
wow.
that was like sweat off my back. But yeah, so once you have that, and once, I mean, visas do expire, but it's mm-hmm. easier to keep renewing it.
Sure.
As long as you're working.
Yeah. And you can say, look, I'm here, I'm working.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it is a process. Some projects will want you, but if it's an independent, they will ask you to pay for your visa or to
mm-hmm.
partially pay for it.
They may not have the budget for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I know I have friends of mine that have worked in the States, but have like partially funded their visa or in full, but it is an investment. Like I paid for my blanket visa
mm-hmm.
out of my own pocket. But it's the best decision.
It's a ticket.
I've made.
So
yeah.
you're where all the casting is now.
Exactly.
The irony is, you know, you built up your body of work in Canada
mm-hmm.
because so many US productions actually film up there.
Yes.
So
yes.
you were able to be cast in a lot
it's
of stuff
crazy.
While you were there.
Yeah. It's like, even if it's in Canada, the US productions come and it's like they want to hire their own, so you really have to prove to them.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have that visa, it's like that it just makes it a little bit easier.
That's kind of a win-win. Then you're also a local hire.
Yes, exactly. It works for them. It's great.
They like that.
Yes.
So then you land in Hollywood and
yes.
here you are, you're a young adult basically
mm-hmm.
at this point, right? What,
yep.
18, 19?
20.
20, okay.
Just turned 20.
Yay!
Yay!
So how has it been for you? Has it been what you expected or has what's been different or how's that been?
In some ways it's been what I expected and in some ways it hasn't. I mean, we all have, at least for me, we have this idea of Hollywood and it's all this glitz and glam and stars and star sightings and it's exciting. But it's, everyone is here for a reason is what I've found. You get in an Uber or a cab or whatever it is, and they're an actor.
It's so true.
Yeah.
I was in an Uber the other day with a guy who's a musician, and he sounded like he had amazing body of work.
Wow.
So
yeah.
Impressive.
It's actually, I have a funny story about that. My first pilot season, so last year, I got in an Uber with my friends, and he was asking us what we did, and I said, well, I'm an actress, and he was like, oh, I just had an audition for this show, and I was like, oh, me too, and we started reciting our lines with one another.
Shut up. That's
yes.
so cool.
I was like, this is crazy. The world is so small.
Yes, it is.
Yes. That was
same sides.
Yes, same sides. Same sides. It was crazy. But that's a huge realization for me. Hollywood seems like this big, huge thing. But once you're here and once you start to make one connection, it's like, whoa, this is tiny.
It's tiny. It's, yeah. That's been one of our takeaways, too. It's like
yeah.
everybody really does know everybody.
Yes.
Or they know the person. It's like there's one degree of separation,
exactly.
basically, through the whole town.
Exactly. It's insane.
So you need to just really be thoughtful around that.
Exactly. Very thoughtful. I mean, be kind to people.
Yeah.
You never know who's friends with who. I mean, watch what you say for sure.
Yeah. All things that you ought to be doing anyway.
Of course.
But really?
Yes.
Like, be mindful.
Be mindful.
Yeah.
Yes. If you have something to say, save it for the car with your mom or whoever it may be. But yeah, it's just a kind of a rule of thumb in life, I find.
Yeah.
Just to be kind and, yeah, be respectful. And especially in this big town where it's actually not that big at all.
No, it is not. It's just shocking. And it, geographically, it even looks big. But it's
yeah.
like, no.
No, it's not.
No. You're going to see someone you know no matter where you go.
Exactly.
So have you had any challenges? I mean, I look at your IMDb and, you know, I know you personally a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You're just this amazing human being.
Thank you.
And your success is incredible at such a young age. And yet, you know, everybody has challenges. And,
yes.
and a lot of the time, I mean, if they're real challenges, they're hidden and we don't need to go anywhere. But like, are there any challenges you'd like to share with people who are listening?
Yeah. I mean, there are sort of for me, the obvious challenges, like, really, really wanting a part and then it not going your way. Or the hardest part is when you get so close and it's between you and someone else and it doesn't go your way.
And that can take sometimes weeks or even months. I mean, that
oh.
process when you get down to the final two or three.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It can take ages. And it's nerve-wracking and it's like I'm always sitting on the edge of my seat. I'm waiting for that phone call. And sometimes it's not the phone call you want. But I have this mindset that everything... or what's meant to happen will happen. And if it wasn't that part, maybe it's because a part down the road is yours and you wouldn't have been able to do both.
We come from that place too.
Yes,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right? Like sort of everything has like it's mapped out sort of path.
Mm-hmm.
So just keep that in mind when it seems really difficult. I know it's hard. It's not easy to feel that close and then not be the one, but it all sort of, it will work out the way it's meant to work out. And additionally, I personally have suffered from anxiety and I won't lie about that. That's not something that I'm ashamed of at all. This industry can be anxiety provoking sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like life all by itself is anxiety provoking
yeah.
enough. And then you add this industry to it and it's like fuel on the fire.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
So it's, that's when like support systems come in, no matter if it's one person who you can rely on. It's very important to be able to have someone to go to and to sort of take a break from all of this when it all gets to be too much. So those have sort of been my struggles. It's definitely not easy. And I have times where I'm like, how am I going to do this? But, it's absolutely worth it and you come out like a stronger person.
Well, and it's beautiful that you share that because I think a lot of people think, you know, that people who've achieved a certain amount, like they have
right.
no
oh.
issues or they have no challenges or life must be just so easy for them.
Can't.
And it's like, you know, no, everybody has their stuff.
I know.
And I think it's really important to own that. It's like, you know, none of us are alone. None
yeah,
of
exactly.
us. You know,
exactly.
And we all really share a lot of the same struggles.
Definitely.
So social media,
yes.
you know, it's like 20 years ago, actors, dancers, you know, it was just not even a thing.
No.
And now it's literally like an integral part of your work.
It is.
It's required.
It's actually a job in itself.
Yeah, it is actually.
It is. Which can be so amazing. It's incredible for promotion. It can really like broaden your audiences. which is great. But you just have to remember what it's useful for and what it's not useful for.
And what it is and what it isn't. Like exactly. one of the wacky dark sides of social media is the whole haters phenomenon. It's until social media, you know, people would have their opinions in their basements about you, but you never knew about it.
Exactly.
But now they feel so free to just share for the world what they think about you.
Exactly.
Because all of their ugliness. It's like, oh my God.
I know.
And trying to like protect your heart from that.
I know.
Because people, I think there's this sort of feeling that when somebody's a celebrity, that they're not really a real human.
Yes.
And you can just say anything to them that honestly, you'd never say to somebody's face.
Oh, never.
Right? So how do you deal with that? Because it isn't just celebs who have to deal with it, although you guys get it magnified.
Right.
Normal teenagers have to deal with this. And how do you protect your heart from haters? How do you deal with that?
When I first started noticing it on my page, I was like, what? People are saying these things. That's not true. And I would get so, my heart would hurt a little. And just as time went on, I would realize, well, they actually don't know you. They don't know anything about you, really. They only know what's on the surface.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's true. They are behind a screen. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't say it to your face. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to sort of look at yourself and remember who you are and what your values are and sort of try as best as you can to tune it out. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't read them if you can help it.
Not Googling yourself daily is a smart thing, right?
Definitely.
Like, don't do that.
Don't do that. You probably won't find, you will find things you don't like.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it for various projects I've worked on. Sometimes it's because I have a romantic relationship with a guy in it who has many fans, and it's like, it's borderline threats.
Mm-hmm. That's weird and scary.
It's very
isn't it?
Scary.
Yeah.
It's so strange. Because I mean, you never know. People, yeah, it's just a crazy thing. But, also for me, there's a balance on social media with sharing your work life and your home life.
Yes. There's got to be a line. Everybody that I know who's like manages social media successfully.
Yeah.
Create some sort of boundary for themselves where some things just stay private.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's very, I mean, before I started acting, that was not really a concern because that's what I used Instagram and Twitter for.
That's what most young people do.
Yeah. But we are not most young mm-hmm. people. We have a very unique job.
Yeah.
And so we have to sort of be careful. Mm-hmm. So that will save you from additional, peering eyes that you don't really want.
I think that's good advice for anybody, really.
Yes.
Because it's like, it's easy to just overshare. And then once anything's out there, it's out there for good.
There.
So, you know, think twice about what you share and keep the things that are really important to you, you know, maybe private.
Maybe private, yeah.
Because that's all right.
Yeah, it is all right. I think that's like, it's nice to have a private life and a public life.
Yeah. Yeah. And you really can. You can have both and you can define it for yourself.
Totally.
So you started out doing drama, doing really gritty, serious, kind of dark stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you find yourself on the Disney Channel.
I know.
What was that like? What's your experience with Disney been like?
It's been so fun. It's been like a breath of fresh air going from these like incredibly dramatic emotional parts, which are rewarding in their own way, to just getting to have a lot of fun while working very hard. It's been amazing. Descendants was such an amazing experience. You were there for it all.
It was amazing.
It was actually magical.
Yeah, it was literally magical.
It was literally magical. And that's a part of me forever. Additionally, all the things that have come with it, getting to see my own doll.
How crazy is that?
It's absolutely mind-blowing. Insane. It's like,
what?
I walk into Target and I'm like, what?
And your face on t-shirts and lunchboxes.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's really a sweet experience. And it's been, I've made friends that I will have for the rest of my life, which is just like, it's the best. I get to do what I love and I get to meet like incredible people.
Well, and then it led to some really cool voice work with the Wicked World shorts.
Oh my gosh.
Which are so cool and fun.
So fun. I had the most fun doing voiceovers for that. It's so cool. It's just, yeah, I've done like a dance along for it, which is so fun. just like really lighthearted, fun things.
Yeah.
I mean, that being said, it's work. Like finding your character, staying committed uses a lot of energy. I'm sure Dove plays twins. That's insane.
Long days.
Long days. Yeah. So much work. But it's very rewarding.
Well, and your dance training yes. was an integral part of your getting that yeah, role, probably.
It was. It was, I mean, I won't lie, I auditioned many times for the part of Audrey. I went back and I went back, but thankfully, Kenny was a big advocate for me. Kenny and Wendy, Kenny the director, and Wendy was one of the producers.
Kenny Ortega.
Yes.
Wendy Jeffe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were big advocates for me and were like, well, we want you to get this part, so we're going to work with you until we get just the sweet spot. And we found the part, and it was a collaboration, and it's been one of the most rewarding auditioning experiences I've ever had.
That's so beautiful, and I love that you brought that up, because it's been my experience, too, that sometimes, not always, but mm-hmm. sometimes there'll be somebody in the production with casting, whether it's the director mm-hmm. or maybe one of the writers or one of the producers, who just gets passionate about championing you
yes.
and wants to help you get the role.
Yes.
And the truth is, in the casting process, they want you to win. They
yes,
want you
exactly.
to get the thing, because it serves them, for one thing,
exactly.
but they want the right person. And so
totally.
It's not an adversarial process.
Exactly.
You know, it can
yes.
be a really amazing supportive process.
Yes.
In many cases.
Definitely.
I mean, love that.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
So if you weren't an actor,
yes.
what might you be doing with your life instead?
Oh, there are, as a child growing up, there are a million things I wanted to do. The thing that stuck with me the most, though, was a nurse.
Mm.
Actually, this is part of what I didn't share with you, that I totally forgot about. In addition to my dad and my sister inspiring me, I actually initially started doing commercial work to fund my nursing school.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That just gave me chills.
Yeah.
How old were you when you did that?
I probably started when I was 12.
That's crazy. So at 12, you're like, I want to be a nurse. I'm going to start chunking money away so I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I really wanted that. At first it was a dentist, and then I was like, maybe a pediatric nurse.
Oh.
And I wanted that so badly. And I thought, how are some fun ways I can make money? As a young kid who
yeah.
can't go work at McDonald's or what have you.
Yeah. Babysitting is a slow way to make your college fund.
Yes, it is, which I also did. But auditioning and doing commercials is fun, and it's a good way to make money. And so that's how it started. But, of course, I fell in love with acting, and that happened. But, yeah, nursing was a huge thing. I have a passion for the art of makeup, actually.
Oh!
It's sort of recent, but I mean, it's so refreshing not to wear makeup for actors who go get their makeup done every day. So most days I'm like sporting a fresh face, but I find that the act of doing makeup and the art of it is very intriguing, and I really love it.
It's aesthetically pleasing.
It's
very creative.
It is. It can get really creative, and that's sort of like another artistic side of me that I've sort of dabbled with, but yeah, I wanted to be an astronaut at one point, like just a bunch of different things. So there are a million things, but acting's the one for me right now.
It's beautiful, because I think for each of us, there are definitely multiple paths that we
yes.
could go down and be completely happy.
Totally.
You know? And we do what we do.
Yeah.
But just because we're doing what we're doing doesn't mean that there aren't other possibilities for us out there.
Totally.
You know, whoever we are, wherever
oh
we are
gosh,
in our lives.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. Yes.
I'm into that as a
yes.
cat with nine lives myself.
Yes. Yes.
So finally, advice for kids who want this life. There's a lot of kids out there who look
yeah.
at your life and the life of, you know, friends of yours and
yeah.
peers, and they say, I want that.
Yes.
And where is the bridge from where I am to where
right.
you are? How do I get there? How do I do this?
Right.
Any advice for them?
Well, I would definitely like to remind you it's possible. It's not impossible. It takes a lot of work and dedication. You might need help from your parents. If you know anyone, it is helpful to know people. I won't lie. It's helpful to get advice. this book is going to be incredible. This podcast is going to be so helpful.
Cool. Thank you.
You're welcome. But it's, I mean, do what you can. Work hard. Take classes. Research, whether that's, like I just said, taking classes, whether it's looking at people in everyday life, whether it's watching movies, reading books. Do what you can to sort of build on your knowledge. And if it's something you really want and it's meant to happen for you, it absolutely will. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to get caught up in, like, the idea of it and not the actual craft.
I love that you mentioned that.
Yeah.
I think that's really common.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to sort of look at people's Instagram pages and be like, wow, you are doing all these cool photo shoots,
right?
And you have, like, all this cool product being sent to you. It is not about that. When
no.
it comes down to it, it's like the work, the long hours, being exhausted when you get home and having to get up the next day. So as long as you keep in mind that it's actually, like, work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all fun and games. It is fun.
It is fun. You gotta love the work. And if you
love
the work, it's okay. It's worth it.
Exactly. So, yeah, love your craft. It'll be good.
Sarah,
yes.
Thank you so
You're welcome.
Much. This has been so fun.
So fun. I love it. I love talking about the useful part of this industry. I'm in Sarah M. Jeffrey 3 on Twitter.
Okay.
I also have a Facebook page, just Sarah Jeffrey.
Okay.
Which I share pretty much everything about my ongoings and what's next.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, everybody will be tracking you and
Yay.
Wishing you all the best.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Hometown to Hollywood podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe. And tell your friends so they can listen too. This episode was sponsored by my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, which you can find on Amazon. If you like my podcast, you'll probably also enjoy my blog at hollywoodparentsguide.com, where you can subscribe for free and get new information every week to help with your own journey. See you next time.